Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about animals today and the human threats to wildlife. And if you're going to talk about that subject, there is only one person I could talk to in the Fredericksburg area. Karen Brace is in this morning. Karen, good morning.
Good morning, Ted. Thanks for having me and my special guest.
I am waiting to see who this special guest is. I don't know. I have a theory, but we'll wait and see how close that theory is. You and I have talked seeds. We have talked possums. We have talked animals in general, but really not this kind of situation of kind of everyday things I think that we all do, or many of us do, or we know about being done, that are real threats to wildlife. And it's a big enough concern that you have notes and notes and notes.
I do. You know, I don't usually come in with notes, but I have 5 pages of notes here.
Yeah.
And this is, I don't want this to be all doom and gloom, but like you said, it's things that I think some people don't realize that are affecting wildlife.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to get that information out. And, you know, there's a saying in the wildlife community or in the animal community in general, when we know better, we can do better. So hoping that, you know, even if this changes a few people's minds and ways that we do things, then it's definitely worth talking about.
I said to you, and really not even knowing where we're going, that I'm sure that there's going to be a number of situations and things that we talked about this morning that I'll say, oh, either I do it or I know about it or I've heard about that. So I think that's the education piece of this whole thing. And for somebody like you who runs a store downtown, Possibilities, you probably see things, know things. You're as an animal rehabber, you see things. So this is something that is real close to you.
Absolutely, yeah.
So where do we want to start?
Well, let's start, I think, with... So what I've done is I've broken my notes down into different categories. And I think coming up on garden season, it's important to talk about, and also fishing season.
Yeah.
The improper storage and use of garden netting and fishing nets, fishing lines, things like that. Hundreds of thousands of wild animals every year, marine life and land animals, die each year because they become entangled in the garden netting or fishing nets, or they show up to wildlife centers with, you know, fishing lines wrapped around them or ingested. It causes injuries, it causes stress, it restricts their movement. And if an animal can't get out, you know, if it becomes entangled, then it's just going to starve to death. And, you know, we're talking birds, owls, snakes, squirrels, waterfowl, seabirds. So if you are using garden netting, and I'm not one that's just, you know, like I said, I don't want this to be doom and gloom. There are, I will present some alternatives or things, you know, that we can do. I get it. I'm a gardener, and you don't want deer coming in and eating all of your vegetables or rabbits or, you know, things like that. So instead of using that real loose garden netting that animals can become entrapped in, you can use a harder gauge net or even just a fence.
I have seen that just in this past week, a fence like that.
Yep, or use a solid fence, you know, a wooden fence and kind of contain your things. Now, not much is going to keep deer out if deer are intent on getting your crops or your flowers or whatever. They're kind of hard to deal with a little bit.
They're big and they're big,
yes. Yeah. And little cute bunnies can slide under things. But, you know, at some point we have to realize that they were here first. And it's not even in my notes, the destruction of habitat. Everybody thinks human threats to wildlife, destruction of habitat. That's got to be number one. That didn't even make it to my list. But obviously it is worth mentioning because as humans kind of spread out, the animals' habitat shrinks.
Yeah.
So I always sort of feel like they're here, they're native, we're encroaching on their property and their land. So sometimes you just have to, you know, I have master gardener friends who plant separate little gardens, like sacrificial gardens for the bunnies and the deer and the groundhogs, that if you plant something that, you know, off to the side of your own garden, then they will, in theory, go and leave that and leave yours alone.
And if it's easier to get to your sacrificial garden, they're going to go there.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
That's a great idea.
I don't know if it always works.
Right.
But it is a good time to introduce our special guest because Cinnabon and her Cinnabon is pampered, so she's not out there getting entangled in anything. But many, many of her species are becoming entangled, and
I guess we need to start off with what is Cinnabon, because Cinnabon is in a carrier,
a soft-sided carrier, yeah. Yes, which is not normally how you see these animals transported, but she is she's happy in here.
Do I need to be worried?
I don't know. Do you? I don't think you do.
Okay. Well, you're there by.
When we were walking in here, what did you say? As long as it's not a
snake,
because that would be horrible.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Snakes are terrible.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Snakes
and I knew.
Are absolutely terrifying.
Oh, that is a big snake.
That is not a big snake.
It is a huge snake.
That is not a big snake. Cinnabon is a 4-foot-long female ball python.
And they're around here.
They're not native. Okay. They're native to their pets.
Okay.
So she is not, she's a rescue, but she is not a native animal.
Well, when I said to you, I can turn the air on if it's too stuffy, and you said your guest would like it.
Prefer it warmer.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I thought that was what it was going to be.
Look at her cute little puppy face.
I don't know if it's a puppy face, but it's really not that. It's not that bad.
See,
I don't want to.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad, but I don't want to. I don't want to touch, hold, or be. I mean, I'm 5 feet away, and that's good.
Well, you forget that I'm blocking your exit when we leave here. So
I know that's.
So you know the rule is you have to touch if you want to leave the room.
I know. Okay. So I guess I never thought of that with this. That snakes would get caught in this kind of thing.
Absolutely. As they, you know, are walking around. And I mean, I actually used to be absolutely terrified of snakes. And as over the years, I've sort of gotten used to them. And then last year, I actually adopted Miss Cinnabon here. And as they are out in the wild, they're looking for you know, all different things like rodents and things like that to eat. And they are, some of our black rat snakes around here can get 6-7 feet. So it's kind of hard. I mean, if you're a snake, you know where all your parts are. But as they are kind of slithering along, and it's easy for them.
Get tangled up.
To become tangled up.
And that's as you were talking about that, when you or I step into netting or things like that, we can just, you know, undo
use
ourselves.
Our hands,
right?
And
but if you're a snake, if you're a bird, if you're you can't do that. Especially, it gets tangled in a wing and things like that.
Yep. And you know, it gets wrapped around limbs and things like that, cuts off blood circulation. And again, if they can't get out, they will starve to death. But really, it's nets that are improperly stored. Because, you know, these animals are out, a lot of them are out during the winter. Not usually snakes because they're cold-blooded, but birds, small rodents, other animals, and, you know, dogs and cats can also become entangled. And we're also talking about like soccer nets, volleyball nets, hammocks that aren't being used.
And instead they just get moved over to the side.
Tossing them in a corner, make sure you fold them up, properly store them in a shed or something like that. Fishing lines are just, every year we see wildlife centers see tons and tons of animals that come in with the fishing lines and fishing nets wrapped around them, and they're entangled, and it's just awful.
I have seen pictures, and it is. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of times, that's a real problem, too. So, and a lot of this just takes a couple of minutes to think it through, how can I keep this away from wildlife?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I'm not saying don't use them. It's just, speaking of becoming entangled, she's wrapping herself around my chair.
I can now say I've had a snake as a guest.
Oh, yay.
Oh, thanks to you. There are a lot of animals that have been in here. But, it is interesting as you bring her in here, you do see, and you can envision animals mm-hmm. getting really in a tough spot here. And, maybe someone comes upon them and is able to get them out. But if they don't, it can be deadly, I would think.
Yep, absolutely.
So we need to take a quick break. And is she going to be awake? Is she going to be awake through the whole show, or is she going to go back in her container?
Oh, I think she'll be awake. She has things to say.
Okay. More coming up with Karen Brace and Cinnabomb, a snake. What kind of snake did you say she's again?
She's a cinnamon champagne morph ball python.
Okay. So I'm guessing you named her.
Yes. She's got this pretty gold color with a piebald tail.
And we'll have a picture up on our Facebook page. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Karen Brace in this morning, and she has a snake with her. She usually has a possum with her or other. We've had generally possums, but she has an animal or two each time she comes in, and in most cases. This morning, though, we are talking about just threats to wildlife. And moving on from fishing lines and netting, which that really is interesting. And I think most people don't do it intentionally, but it does happen. Right. So you want, and I think probably a lot of this will be that. It's exactly. Not things that we're out there intentionally mm-hmm. doing. Balloons.
Yes.
I know there's a state, isn't there, the General Assembly a few years ago passed something that I think to limit balloons, but I will say that I go to a number of events and
there's
usually a lot of balloons.
Right. And balloons have been used, for years and years and years as a way of celebration, and they're brightly colored and it's fun. And a lot of people think that, I've seen ceremonies where at funerals, balloons are released, but balloons do not travel up to heaven to your loved ones. They do not. I'm sorry to crush that myth. And if anybody out there really believes that, I'm sorry. They do not. They come back to the ground and they kill animals. Period.
And really all, I've heard it just
it's not just wildlife.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they break apart, they deflate. And a lot of animals, wild and domestic, because of the bright colors, you have a lot of animals, birds and marine life, that a brightly colored item could mean a berry. It could mean some sort of fruit. Yeah. Marine life, it could be a brightly colored fish. And beach litter surveys, we found that balloons and pieces of balloons found on our beaches in the U.S. have tripled in the last 10 years.
Wow, so there are more balloons.
So it's a huge amount of the litter that we find on beaches. This is affecting animals like dolphins, whales, turtles, other marine species, but also land animals, like I mentioned, sheep, cows, dogs, tortoises, different birds, again, they think they're shrubbery or they think they're a berry or something like that. And what usually happens is the animal ingests the pieces, thinking that it's food or something. And then the balloon, because they are made out of that, you know, real soft rubber type material, it blocks the digestive tract of these animals and then leaves them unable to take in nutrients. So they can't eat. So the animal ends up starving, which is not a good way to go, definitely.
No, and like you said, whether it's animals or, I mean, you would hate to have, you know, your dog all of a sudden ingest it and all of a sudden become sick and, you know, who knows where we go.
And as the former owner of two pugs that have both eaten something stupid, it's extremely expensive. To go have that my dog ate something stupid surgery. So it's not only about the animals, it's expensive when and farmers, if you lose a cow or you lose a sheep or, you know, whatever, it's very expensive.
So be careful about that. Now, biodegradable balloons, are they a thing? Are they a thing that helps us in this situation?
So I tried really hard not to roll my eyes right then. There are on the market things that claim to be biodegradable. Biodegradable means will eventually break down in the environment.
I think I'm thinking that the key word is eventually.
Eventually, exactly. So they market them and people do buy them thinking, oh, I'm, you know, helping the environment and I'm getting something that is less horrible. These things still take years to break down. And it does not take more than a day or two for an animal to find this balloon. So they're not breaking down quickly. They're still considered litter. And they still do a lot of harm. You know, a lot of people, and again, we've used these balloons for celebrations forever.
Right.
And if you have them inside and then you take them down and you dispose of them responsibly, that's fine.
It's the outside.
But
is
it's
the
problem. Outside. And people releasing them. You see them at fairs. Yep. Kids, you know, accidentally let them go and they go up into the atmosphere.
Everybody laughs, but it's a problem.
What goes up must come down.
Yeah.
And they cause a lot of problems when they do come down. There's a lot of other things that we can be using for celebrations, for, you know, memorial celebrations. You plant a tree. Plant a bush in your loved one's honor. That will last a whole lot longer. Bubbles, candles, you know, used responsibly, of course. And for more information, and I love the name of this organization, for more information on the destruction that balloons cause and also alternatives to using balloons, there's an organization out there called balloonsblow.org. And I love the name of that.
It's a very unique name. Yes.
balloonsblow.org. They have all the stats. That's where I got a lot of these stats that I was talking about. Another thing that we see a lot of, and I, you know, bring animals and I sort of not work with directly, but am affiliated with Blue Ridge Wildlife Center up in Boyce, Virginia. They're always posting, and a lot of other wildlife places are posting things about glue traps. Glue traps are insidious. They're usually used to catch rodents, but they are extremely cruel. It's basically a piece of paper with this horrible sticky substance on it. And in theory, the rodent runs or, you know, walks across it and gets stuck. How anybody ever thought this was humane, and people probably don't care, is the glue rips the skin. Birds get stuck to it. It does not discriminate. It catches anything that will walk or slither across it. And
ooh,
it's really, really hard to get these animals off of it. And not only is that horrible for the wildlife, it is not a good way to die. Insects, frogs, birds, snakes, other small mammals, over 180 species of wild animals have been found stuck to these things. So not only is it stressful and terrible, I just made up a new word, terrible for the animals, but it also, like I said, takes a lot of rehabbers' time and wildlife vets and wildlife center personnel to get these animals off of these glue traps. It takes a long time. And they're actually starting to become laws banning glue traps.
Are they just put on there? I guess they're placed on the ground, just around in an area. And they must be, how big are they?
They're not usually too big.
But just enough to be able to catch and, okay.
Yep.
That'd be a bad way to go.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine just being stuck?
Yeah.
And, you know, your face and your arms and your legs are just stuck and you can't move and you can't eat and you're trying to move and you're just ripping the skin off of your body and your feathers and it's terrible. It's stressful. Yeah. Then the animal obviously ultimately dies. Last year, West Hollywood, California became the first city to actually ban glue traps. New Zealand, England, and Iceland have also completely banned them. And then finally, this past January, Representative Ted Lieu from, introduced the Glue Trap Prohibition Act. It's still in Congress, but if passed, which I can't imagine it won't be, it would ban the use of glue traps on a national level. So you can get these things at Walmart. You can get them anywhere.
See,
it would completely ban the use of them.
I've heard of like the paper for flies.
It's like that, only but, it's...
Right, yeah, that's what you describe it. It's
and
the
even
thing.
The fly paper. I mean, we have seen if you use it outdoors, which I don't know why you would, but people do. We've seen all sorts of insects, hummingbirds, other birds stuck to... Yeah, it's the exact same idea.
And those things are just disgusting. When you have them up, and just when they're nasty. Filled with flies, I mean, it's... Yeah.
So, yeah, they're just insidious, and I'm hoping that this law is passed because it's awful.
Good stuff this morning. Karen Brace here this morning as we talk about this. Not that it's – none of this is good, but it's good information. It really does get you thinking about just everyday things and what am I doing? Am I really making mm-hmm. – you know, and causing horrible deaths or serious injuries to animals? Need to take a quick break. We'll continue on this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA, Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning with Karen Brace. Again, really just Karen, thank you for the just for the information end of this, because a lot of this we sometimes just don't think of. And I guess poisons are another thing that are out there. They're things that can help us in some ways, but in other ways they would be it's kind of like the netting. Animals just fall into those kinds of things and they don't know. You can't put a, you know, danger, you know, a danger poisonous sticker on things because they're not going to know that.
Exactly. Now, if I was to say to you, let's go out and intentionally poison a bunch of owls or bald eagles or hawks, what would your reaction be?
No, we're not going to do that. That's terrible. That would be a terrible thing to do.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
A lot of these animals are protected. They're beautiful. We love watching the, people go out and do owl walks at night. We are, you know, American symbol is the bald eagle. especially in Colonial Beach right now, there's ospreys and they're feeding their babies.
Yeah.
And everything has little babies and little owlets. And so, you know, if I was to say we're going to intentionally poison all of these animals, everybody would be up in arms and there would be protests. Yet, every single year, people put out rat poison to poison rodents, rodenticide. And it's for the purpose of killing rodents, yeah, right? But what do owls and eagles and hawks and osprey and a million other scavengers eat?
They're going to eat the same kinds of things and fall right into that.
They're going to eat those rodents. A lot of times that it's not a quick thing. When a rat or a mouse ingests poison, it takes time. A lot of times those mice and rats and whatever else is eating them will go back and feed their babies. You know, the babies are nursing, so that poison gets passed on to the babies. And then when that rodent either is walking around and a hawk or an owl or an eagle swoops down and grabs it before it dies or after it succumbs to the poison, animals such as possums, raccoons, vultures, and a lot of the other scavengers will eat that animal, and then they also become poisoned.
Yeah.
So same thing with insecticide. When we poison these animals, even though we consider them pests, we don't realize the far-reaching effect that this is going to have on the entire ecosystem.
It's the unintended consequences kind of thing.
Exactly. And not only that, but if you have rat or, you know, any type of rodenticide, rat poison, mouse poison, whatever, the EPA estimates that 10,000 children are poisoned in the U.S. every year, most under the age of 6, because...
That's a lot.
It's a lot. So, because it's not stored properly...
Yeah.
Some of these look like, you know, little candy packets and kids get into it. And so, yeah, it's also a huge problem. I mean, if you have to trap mice, the snap traps are probably the way to go. They're not, in theory, you know, you bait them and then it snaps down and, breaks the rodent's neck. It's not always, it doesn't always kill them on the first go around. And so sometimes they're not exactly humane also.
Yeah.
But it's the lesser of the evil. So if you're going to do anything, use the snap traps. There are live traps that you can use, but then what do you do with them? You're going to release them on your neighbor's property or something. So the best thing to do is try to figure out why you're getting rodents to begin with. And, you know, a lot of it is improperly stored garbage, improperly stored dog and cat food and
cleanliness,
wildlife feed and things like that. And critters such as our native snakes are going to help with rodents. So, you know, there's a lot of natural pest control out there. But the rodent and insecticides and things like that are doing way more harm than people realize.
I remember talking and hearing when Ed Clark was with the Wildlife Center of Virginia, and, mm-hmm. and he would come with eagle releases,
yeah.
and would talk about this very thing about eagles were dying because of people out hunting, mm-hmm. and it was the lead.
Yep, that's next on my list.
Okay. that's a very, as you've talked about that,
yep.
I never thought about it though, just in the poisoning part, that yeah. that's the same thing. You just
in the wild, something, you know, everything eats something,
right? You don't always, you need to think ahead, mm-hmm. if I do this, what if this happens,
right? And it will. Yeah, absolutely.
So and yeah, and especially because you think, you know, poisoning a, you know, the rodents, they're a problem and we need to do this, but you're not thinking of who's going to come and eat that
right
rodent.
And you're also not thinking of why you have rodents to begin with. I mean, rodents are everywhere.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's a bazillion different species and they are everywhere. But there are things that you can do to reduce the population and to prevent them from coming around.
The other thing is, and we've talked about it, just what a horrible way to, you know, all of a sudden, you know, just a horrible way to die.
Right.
For these animals. And like you talk about, just this is something being so inhumane. Mm-hmm. They're going and eating something that they normally do, and all of a sudden, you know, you're poisoned.
Right.
So
I think Cinnabon is done with you.
I think so. Cinnabon has wrapped herself. It is now going back into her carrier, and has she's been a very good girl, I will say.
See?
Yeah.
See? No, Not terrifying.
No.
She's watching you, though. She's keeping an eye on you.
Yeah, no, she wants to continue to watch the show, but she'd rather go back to her carrier.
Exactly. All right, you do you.
Fascinating. And there will be pictures on our Facebook page of her slithering around with you this morning. So did you want to go? Lead poisoning, is that our next?
Yeah,
that's our next.
Let's do it. Let's get the lead out, Ted.
Let's get the lead out.
So a lot of people still use lead ammunition. It's cheaper. It's easy to come by. A lot of states and countries are banning it. But lead is extremely soft. And fragments, when the bullet hits like a deer carcass, for example, it doesn't just stop there because it's so soft.
Yeah.
These fragments go, I mean, we have found lead fragments within, you know, 2 feet of the meat of a deer.
Wow.
Far. It goes through, you know, it can be found within 2 feet. A lot of times hunters will field dress their deer and, you know, clean it up out in the wild and leave the intestines and the insides for animals to eat, which is, you'd think you're doing, hey, I'm providing something, a meal. However, if there are lead particles in that, then those animals that come to eat the food are also ingesting those lead particles. And a lot of times, hunters don't always kill the animal that they're shooting at. Sometimes a deer will be hit and run several miles and then succumb to the injury of the bullet. And then scavengers eat it. But the National Park Service estimates that over 134 species of wild animals are negatively affected by lead ammunition. And even dust-sized particles can taint the meat. So pieces of lead that you can't even see.
Yeah.
Now, if it's dangerous for wild animals, you know, the scavengers, again, the possums, the raccoons, the hawks, the owls, the eagles, human beings are also eating this meat. Don't forget.
That can't be good.
It is not good. And even though, you know, the hunter finds the bullet and pulls it out, unless you are X-raying all this meat,
likely there's fragments.
Yeah.
Like you say, even maybe just dust size.
Fragments. And the irony is a lot of people will hunt because they don't want store-bought meat that's pumped full of chemicals and hormones and things like that. So they're using it as a healthier alternative as a way to feed their families.
Yeah.
But if you're using lead ammunition, it is absolutely not a healthy alternative.
So what are the alternatives to this?
Brass or copper ammunition. It's a little more expensive. But I'm, you know, hoping over the years we will get more laws. And again, several states have banned the use of lead ammunition. And it lead has been banned for the hunting of waterfowl beginning in 1991. So.
Oh, that's been a while.
Yeah.
A long time.
Yep.
But it seems like that's a law that's not being followed.
Yeah. Well, for waterfowl.
Yeah.
But why was it banned for waterfowl and not for everything else?
Everything else, right.
It doesn't even make any sense. You know, I mean, obviously with waterfowl, lead is just, it's going everywhere. You're shooting a much smaller animal and it's getting into the water and things like that. But it doesn't make any sense. I reached out to, when I was putting all these notes together, I reached out to Dr. Jen at Blue Ridge Wildlife Center, again, up in Boise. And she said that, you know, they test every animal, every scavenger, every animal that comes in as a patient, they test them for lead. Because a lot of times if an animal is lethargic and not eating and not in great shape, it can be caused by high levels of lead toxicity. And she said that about 80% of the scavengers that come in, again, the raccoons, the owls, the hawks, the eagles, the possums, 80% of the scavengers that come through their doors have elevated levels of lead in them.
Huh. So it's a big problem.
It's out there. Absolutely. And it's not only the lead ammo, but it's also fishing lures and weights. It's estimated that over 4,000 tons of lead sinkers are purchased in the U.S. every single year.
I see a lot of those. If you go down to city docks sometimes and you see when people have missed and they get wrapped around things, you see those weights, those sinkers.
Exactly.
A lot.
Yep. It's polluting the water. And you're like, oh, that was probably years ago. We know better now. No, those statistics were from last year. Hmm. You know, obviously some people are responsible and they take all their lures and their fishing hooks. We see a lot of fishing hooks in animals and not even just the fish. But accidents happen. Sometimes the lines are cut. Sometimes the sinkers and the lures are lost. Fishing lines. And, you know, we've already talked about the netting and things like that. So it really goes back to just being, and it's usually by people that, again, the irony is people are out there fishing because they love nature and they don't realize that their actions are harming the animals in the nature that they claim to love.
Well, and again, it's just a lot of think things through. Kind of have a long-term picture. And as you talk about just dealing with these wildlife centers, it just sounds like that they see all of these things that we're talking about every day.
And they track. So they have the statistics. They track how many animals come in, how many animals have lead in them, how many, you know, were hit by a car, how many this, how many that, as much as they can determine what happened. So they have all these statistics. Mm.
I'm glad we did this. We've done this show, and we'll have to continue to do shows like this and even talk about these same things just because I don't recall, you know, like I've heard the eagle stories a number of times. A lot of these times you'll hear things here and there, but not in a, we don't hear enough about it.
Yeah. And like I said, if I was to say I'm going to go out and intentionally poison owls and hawks and eagles.
So what's wrong with you? Why would we do that?
Exactly.
But it is happening. And it's just
inadvertent, but it doesn't change the fact that it's still being done.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, we love our eagle cams and there's cameras in positioned at osprey nests because we love to watch these little owls and these little hawks and eagles. And a lot of times mama and daddy eagles and birds are bringing animals because they, you know, they're carnivores. And it ends up poisoning the babies as well.
Karen Brace here this morning. We're taking a quick break. We're going to wrap.
Downer.
It is. But it really just takes a little bit of thought to think about some of these things.
Exactly.
We're going to wrap this up and conclude and also talk about an event taking place tomorrow at Possibilities Downtown. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Karen Brace here this morning. Really good stuff with just thinking through kind of a cause and effect on all of these things. Couple of things to do in the final few minutes. Cats. We're not going to be able to get into this as much as we'd thought just because of time, but talk about cats.
So cats and wildlife, cats in general, are one of the most controversial aspects of wildlife. And I am not a cat hater. I have owned cats. I love all animals.
Yes, you
but
do.
The fact is that there's an estimated 164 million cats in the United States, and we estimate that 30 to 80 million of those are unowned. And even the percentage of the owned cats that are pets that somebody claims and is responsible for them, a lot of those are free range. And many, many studies indicate that cats are a major, if not the greatest, source of mortality. In other words, they kill birds, mammals, reptiles, and amphibians. People blame habitat loss, but cats have contributed to the extinction of at least 63 species of wild animals around the world. So, there's all sorts of other studies as to why cats should not be allowed to free range.
Yeah.
There's human health issues, there's safety issues, they're threats to livestock and other pets, they spread lots of disease, but the most important thing to take away is, your free-ranging cat is out there just decimating wildlife.
Yeah.
And if you have a cat, and again, I am not a cat hater, it's not their fault that the problem has gotten to be so bad. But they really are the one of the main causes of a lot of issues.
We will talk about more of these issues and then continue to talk about these because this has been just a fascinating and really insightful show. So thank you for doing this. Kind of on a light note before we get out of here, you've got an event tomorrow at Possibilities.
Yes. I didn't want to end this on a doom and gloom kind of note, and hopefully everybody appreciates that the information that has been provided. So on a lighter note,
yeah,
we are hosting at Possibilities tomorrow down on William Street a doggy art show.
Interesting. How does this we only have we have less than a minute.
Okay.
How does this happen?
So it is a fundraiser for Old Dominion Humane Society. They are bringing about 6 dogs that are looking for homes and the artwork that these dogs have created. So there's going to be, you can see pictures of some of the artwork on our Facebook page, which is Possum-Billities in the Berg, the number 2. And so these doggy artists will be there doing a meet and greet, giving free dog kisses and pets. And then you can come and look at the art and purchase the art, which 100% of the proceeds goes to Old Dominion Humane Society. And it's going to be from 1 to 6 tomorrow. We'll have a possum ambassador, a reptile ambassador. Come check out some doggy art.
211 William Street, Possibilities, you said 1 o'clock?
1 to 6.
1 to 6 at Possibilities, 211 William Street in downtown Fredericksburg. Karen Brace, thank you. Let's talk about animals again one of these days.
Thanks for having us.
That is it. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.